as crazy as it sounds, like, I think inflation is going to get under control. My problem is it going to get under control because they pushed it too far and they broke the economy and pushed us into this recession, which now people don't believe is going to happen anymore. It's still going
to
happen.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, is the market getting too complacent? Did, in fact, the economists blow it and we're not going to have a recession? Imagine if they threw a recession and nobody came. Well, James Locke is with us now. And James, great to have you back on. So even the bears are throwing in the towel now. What are you seeing?
Well, just on that kind of point, whether this recession is real or not, we'll see. I'm always kind of looking at what, the professionals are saying, that sort of thing. And like I was saying, the famous Morgan analyst named Mike Wilson, he's a huge bear market analyst. And he was wrong from the S&P 3500 to 4400 and finally kind of came out and apologized and said, yeah, I got it wrong. Maybe the market isn't as bearish as I had thought. Well, when the most bearish guy in a room turns bullish, does that mean the market's due for a correction? Probably, right? That means, maybe it's time to get short a little bit, or maybe it's time to, no one ever, they from the trading adage, right? No one ever goes poor ringing the cash register, right? So if you maybe take some money off the table. But some of the other indications we saw last year, there were a lot of people going into T-bills. You saw a lot of that kind of into that safety. And now all of a sudden, no one cares about T-bills. You're seeing people coming out of T-bills, going into these tech stocks, as the market's going up into the hires. It's almost like it's a Hollywood movie script, right? You can't do this any better. So between strategists saying, oh, maybe I was wrong or we're going up, and people exiting safe money and going into tech stocks, and AI can solve everything. Like I said, it's maybe it's an indication to book some gains. That's kind of where I'm getting at.
So you don't think, James, you don't think that AI can solve all our problems?
I think AI is going to help our society. I don't know how yet, but it's going to help us in ways that we can't imagine yet. Is it going to solve all our problems? I am very confident that it will not do that. It needs to be integrated into society and figured out how it can help, without the Terminator coming in, right? That's the always fear.
So what are we going to see? You think that they're actually going to be right, but they're just going to be right at the wrong time?
In the short run, no one really knows what AI is going to do, right? In the long run, it's going to be very profitable for a lot of people. So thing is it going to be profitable for everyone? Who knows? Can NVIDIA keep this rally going? At some point reality has to set in and AI has to actually do something, right? I when I say taking money off the table, it's not like I'm sitting here saying there's a crash coming, but we could easily see a 10 to 15% correction in the market, and it'll take a lot of people by surprise.
It always does. It always does. What about with rates where they are here? You got mortgage rates over 7% for a 30-year fixed mortgage, and you've got the Fed funds rate trading between 5.25% and 5.5%, and it just doesn't seem like anybody cares.
Right. And here's the thing, right? We can sit here and talk about reality till we're blue in the face, right? Rates, Fed funds over 5%, war in Europe, by the way, people just forget about that. There's a constant threat of inflation. We were just talking about how inflation was unbeatable 9 months ago, and now we're talking about, you start hearing about deflation, you know, like we beat everything in 9 months and that's it. So, you know, we can talk about it, but I don't know that that the everyday investor is really kind of believing that. And that's, you know, you hate to say it, but it's one of those things. It's like, you want to know what the market's doing. Don't follow the smart money, follow the dumb money, right? Right. That's that's going to bounce in their face kind of thing. But, you know, 9 months to go from hyperinflation to deflation seems awfully quick, right? To me, I don't know that inflation is gone from that point of view.
You know? I don't believe it, but yeah. But you know, perception is reality to these people until it's not, right?
Right. That's what I mean. That's what I said. I think a lot of people are going to get kind of bitten in the cheek meat a little bit here when there's some sort of bounce back. And it's funny. I was, you know, a lot of people in trading and in markets like to talk about sports analogies and things like that. I was talking with someone who said, you know, recently the S&P 500 is more like the NBA than Major League Baseball, right? If you think of the NBA, you have, you know, one or two stars and that carries a team to victory. Whereas in baseball, you know, if you have one star, he only comes up to plate four times a game or pitches every five games, right? So you can't rely on one star, but it seems the S&P 500 is a lot like the NBA, right? We have these kind of magnificent seven stocks. NVIDIA, Facebook's, Tesla. And right now, that seems to be working, right? You hand the ball to your stars and off they go, and they pull everything along with it. You know, but at some point, someone's going to get a torn ACL or reality's going to come in or some other, you know, well-balanced.
They'll get arrested for drugs, DWI, or some heinous crime.
Right.
That's more likely, you know, than injuries, it seems these days.
That's all too true. But, you know, that's what we're saying is that, you know, right now it's this like superstar, and you got to be in this superstar to make any, you know, real money, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's lots of opportunity out there. It doesn't have to be, you know, Facebook and Tesla and NVIDIA. And don't get me wrong, there's opportunity there. It's just, you know, now you're talking about a lot of volatility. There's just not a lot of diversification, you know, anymore that I'm not really seeing that. So, mm-hmm. You know, listen, are we going to get inflation under control? Probably. Is the Fed going to stop hiking rates? Probably not, whether inflation gets in control or not. And, you know, you got international concerns going on. You know, we got the inverted yield curve. I mean, that will uninvert at some point. And, you know, short-term rates are going to come down a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And long-term rates are going to come down too. And then people are going to be, you know, wishing they had, you know, locked in better interest rates and you know, higher looking dividend things rather than kind of the magnificent seven. You know, it can't all be all your eggs in one basket.
Right. So you really think inflation is over? It's done?
It's certainly not done, but my fear is more the other way around. I think it's going to be done because the Fed's going to break everything. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm wrong, right? But they just have such a track record of, you know, pushing it until it's over the limit or not pushing it enough, right?
Yeah. And
so as crazy as it sounds, like, I think inflation is going to get under control. My problem is it going to get under control because they pushed it too far and they broke the economy and pushed us into this recession, which now people don't believe is going to happen anymore. It's still going to happen. You can't keep, you know, this kind of rate up in the market and, you know, not have real returns. At some point, like I said, AI is going to have to produce something. The economy is going to have to produce something. And then, you know, then you'll see which of the stocks are going to hold their own.
All right. So can AI pull a rabbit out of the hat?
It can. I wouldn't bet on it, but it definitely can. You know, some of the AI world is going to be, you know, extremely profitable. And like I said, it's hard for me to even judge what it's going to do, right? What it's going to automate. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy thoughts. You know, everyone always talks about self-driving cars and things like that. And we're still thinking very classically, well, the car is going to drive itself and you're sitting behind a steering wheel. Well, it might be that eventually a self-driving car means it's an office, right? And you're sitting there doing work, right? And so there's more productivity going on. So, you know, and that's even a crazy, like, that's like the Jetsons, you know what I mean? Like, we don't really even know what the opportunities are there. So can I pull a rabbit out of the hat? Sure. I'm not sure it's going to happen in the next 9 months or, you know, by the end of 2024. You know, and that's why I said, like, there's nothing wrong with locking in some gains right up here near the top. You know, that doesn't mean you have to unload and back the truck up, but, you know, we've had a really good run. It might be an idea to say, you know, do I need to double down? I don't know that, you know, that doesn't make sense from a trading point of view either.
No. So, yeah, well, like you said, you never go broke taking a profit on Wall Street, right?
That's right. So, and, you know, the other thing is that the numbers that keep coming out, you know, you got the manufacturing purchasing managers index. That's it. Every few weeks, it's being released tomorrow. All the indications are always of slowing purchasing. All right. Now, granted, some of the numbers recently have been better than expected, but even the better than expected numbers are still on the slowing purchasing side.
Right.
So, you know, that's telling us that companies aren't expecting growth in the future. So how we're going to maintain this, you know, market rally from 3,500 to 4,500, 4,500 to 5,500 with
good question.
Companies slowing down. Like, all right, does that mean we're going back to 3,500? Well, not necessarily, but I find it hard to believe that, you know, we're going to be able to, you know, sustain this for that length of time, especially if the Fed keeps hammering, you know, with interest rates. That makes everything, that's a headwind on everything.
How much longer do you think the Fed's going to keep raising for?
I think they're going to raise at least another time. And like they even openly said that it's just, we're going to keep raising until we see inflation and essentially the economy in a spot where it's going to stay that way for a length of time. So, you know, I see at least another quarter point raise, and we'll see from there. It's getting, where are we at? Like 22-year high in interest rates? Like,
yeah. And they've never been raised this quickly before either, have they?
That's the problem. We don't know, you know, if we've already broken our back, you know, because of the quickness that we've done it. That's the real problem. And, you know, unwinding it just as quickly, which is certainly not good, but that's not going to fix the problem that fast either. You know, these things take time.
Okay, I'll buy it. All right. Yeah. So what is Joe Sixpack supposed to do here? In the meantime, everything's waiting to melt down on them.
Yeah, you know, it kind of depends on where you are in your phase in life, right? A lot of the people that we're dealing with, a couple of years away from retirement, the timing is super critical. So, you know, focusing on interest and dividends and income is a much more important thing, which means, hey, whether the stock market goes up or down, you don't want to have to worry about it. That's more of our bread and butter. But if you have a little more time in there, then there's nothing wrong with, like I said, taking some off the table and having some ammunition, having some more, you know, bullets in the chamber to take advantage of corrections. The rich get richer because they have cash on the sidelines to grab when things go down, right?
Right.
You know, so from that medium range point of view, if you got the time, that's why I said lock in some gain, ring the cash register, and that doesn't mean you need to close your positions down and you know, see what happens over the next 6-8 months. You know, your worst case scenario is you locked in some gains. It may end up being a good trade.
All right, I'll buy it. So hey, so you know, basically act while there's still time. Don't wait. You know, Bernard Baruch, I'm always reminded, said, you know, basically, I got rich letting the other guy make the last 10%, right?
Yes. Yeah. You don't need to buy the bottom and you don't need to sell the top.
Okay. So we got that out of the way. So what do we do here? I mean, we want to sell and uh, sell, sell in July and hope we don't die? Is that what the deal is?
Yeah. Well, almost August, right? Like I said, I think there's a lot of complacency right now because of the summer. People aren't really looking at things, hedging. You know, like I said, if I'm looking at it, I'd say in the next, you know, I don't know, maybe as few as 3 months, that may be a little short, but 6 to 9 months, you know, you could easily see the stock market back down under the S&P 500 back under 4,000. And it wouldn't even, you know, it wouldn't even blink an eye to do that. So that's what I was saying is like, if you can, if you've done some things have worked for you throughout the year, right? We had, you know, big down year last year. If you've taken some, you know, move a little bit into cash, you know, these money markets are paying 4 or 5%. There's nothing wrong with collecting some interest, right? Because then the markets, if the markets do drop, right? Now you can get out of those things because interest rates potentially could either hold steady or maybe drop. We'll see if the Fed's going to break it, right? And then you have a reason to get out and then kind of back in because now you're buying things at a discount.
Is there a trade out there that you could make that's going to cover you if the Fed breaks it or if they don't break it?
I mean, if you really think the Fed's going to break it, then you know you want to be in as much kind of fixed income
and cash
as possible. Because you'll be generating all that interest while, you know, interest rates are plummeting. And then, you know, you could exit it or keep collecting the income. Like I said, that depends on your phase in life a little bit. But, you know, there's nothing wrong. Like at this point in life, there's actually nothing like, you know, it's almost sacrilegious to say, right? Like imagine investing in fixed income as a trade. There seems to be opportunity there. You know, if you're getting a good interest rate, if things don't fall apart or they just go sideways, it's not a bad trade. And if that we do have recession, then you'd be glad you had that, you know?
All right. I'm willing to buy it. All right, James, tell us best place to find you, poollock.com. Yep.
Poollock.com, P-O-O-L-E-L-O-C-K-E.
Great. And the link is in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. If you got a question for James, myself, email is kl@carrylutz.com. Make sure when you go to the site, you sign up for the free newsletter. James, always enlightening, always thought-provoking. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.